Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, June the 25th, 182nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Fortuna City Manager Regan Candelaria. Hey, guy. How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon.
Was it sunny when you left? Truth. Truth. Scout's honor.
It was a little bit cloudy today.
It was a little bit
nice
and
warm, though. I mean.
Yeah.
I didn't say muggy.
No. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about dog parks. What are they? What are they about? Where do they come from? And why do people get so excited about them?
I can help you with that.
I bet you have an opportunity there to elucidate many of us. I know. That's the stuff that... Yeah, never mind.
Now you're hallucinating.
Hallucinate. Yes, there's my word. I'll come back to reality when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Tony Blair. Most of us recognize him. Former British Prime Minister.
Over across the pond.
Yes. Quote, the art of leadership is saying, nah, let me get it smooth. The art of leadership is saying no, not yes. It's really easy to say yes.
It's how you say no, I think, that is really the key.
Yeah, no kidding. How long did it take you in city manager school before you realized that one?
I'm still looking for a city manager school. If you know of one, let me know. We've got some excellent training opportunities, but I don't think there's a school that's set up for...
Government administrative?
I've got a master's in public administration.
Well,
but
that's pretty close, isn't it? Or
yeah.
It should be pretty close.
Well, but there's so many of us, you know, within the organization, but there's only one of me that has to be required to say no once in a while and figure
there's
out
how... There's only one of you? Is that like something special?
Within the organization, yes. I'm the one that gets, to make these final decisions and be the one standing there to say no, but, or, you know, yes, and you know... Give the explanation.
So they don't have any kind of special track for public administration degrees that talk about being the city manager or the CAO or CEO, depending on, I guess, what county you're in?
Well, they do, but what I'm referring to is the actual on-the-ground experience. When you're in the position, it's a little different than an educational setting.
A fireman, too.
Yeah, and we do have excellent support organizations. I'm a member of ICMA, which is it's actually International City Managers Association. There's one specifically in California. It's the City Manager Foundation. So we do have resources and partnerships to try and ensure that we can get some training and get some information and feedback and participate with each other.
That would be so the that help with the exclamation points.
Yeah. Looking at best practices is always a good thing. And, it's like I said, sometimes, there's only one person in the organization that has to make that decision. But there's other cities that have faced the same issue or been brought the same types of complaints. And, it's not the first time usually, so it's nice to have that resource.
Do you ever wonder what it would be like to be in a different state? And be a city manager, let's say, in Nevada or in Utah or Wyoming or Nebraska or Mississippi or somewhere other than California with its litigiousness?
I don't know. I guess I don't have enough time to daydream about that, but I don't. I mean, I'm happy in California. I do think we have a great state, even though we do have some issues that other states don't have to deal with or address. But I like it here, and, I don't think I want to be in any other states.
You are a glutton for punishment.
That is definitely true. Yes.
Do they teach you how to be PR guy in public administration school?
I don't remember taking a course or an offering in that.
Okay. I'm just wondering, it's always intriguing for me to see how in this chair, in this setting, things change over the years. From oh my gosh, ties and three-piece suits, to wandering in going, I don't know, what do you want to talk about? It just, because I know that this is unique, mm-hmm. but in dealing with news media who are more aggressive, sharp-edged might be another term to use, this kind of a back and forth would never work because you'd end up picking up your teeth.
Yeah.
So I wondered, you know, because I wouldn't think that anybody would want to set themselves up for that. So that there
are you,
would
are you
be
asking kind of, that I don't show up next week on the last Tuesday?
Is no.
Recommending
no.
Like, that I don't. I mean, that's,
it's for me. It's a neat reflection that what the show is and the environment that it's in. But it's nowhere near a press conference.
No,
it's nowhere near hard hitting news stuff. And seeing how the individuals will change and understand and play in this scenario, mm-hmm. I don't see that they're. Are many transferable skills from this into a news setting where?
But you're right. This is a comfortable setting, you know, with this radio show with you in particular. But as you know, public officials, we always need to be on our guard and make sure that we're thinking about what we're saying and how we say it. And really, from my perspective, I haven't been trained in you know the way you called it public relations
PR or school.
PR school.
Yeah.
But what I've done is enough of. Trying to provide the message that you want promoted from your organization. Typically, cities are, you know, we're easy to give a black eye. Sometimes we're standing right up there, right in front of everybody, and, you know, we take a lot of punishment. So my role has always been, let's try and get the positive message out and share the information that we want them to have, as opposed to just trying to dodge things. I want to give them, you know, the information we want to put out there.
Proact rather than react?
If at all possible, yes.
Well, that does make it more fun, I would think, if you can kind of control the message a little bit and the timing of the message. You know, you're two-thirds of the way home instead of having to deal with repercussions of things.
Yeah, I think being out in front is a good place to be if you can be there. It's all kind of hard. Sometimes it's hard to foresee what might be coming up. But with the things that you do know are coming up, and if you can put that out there and encourage that discussion, you know, hopefully you'll be able to provide information that'll delay some other fears or issues that people might come back and, you know, want to ask questions about something that already have the detail that maybe they're not as uncomfortable with a project or a program.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Silver Tongue. Oh.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, when you are considering Dog Park, I think the first one I saw was in Medford. Jeez, 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I remember giggling and laughing. Oh, what? And now it seems like that's one of the big rages in the state, if not the entire region. You're not supposed to have your dogs running without leash. And the parks and the beaches and the rivers and the and mm-hmm. And certainly liability and has changed significantly. A dog bite, which kind of used to not be that big a deal, is a big ripping deal now. When this first was brought to you, the concept of a dog park in Fortuna, what was your reaction?
I was almost like, well, why not? Or, you know, how come we don't have one already? Dog parks for me, it was about 20 years ago when I lived in Orange County. I was working down in Santa Ana, and they had one in Laguna Beach, right along the highway out to the beach. And my wife used to drag me over there all the time and, you know, bring her parents' dogs over there. And like you, I was like, what? What is this? You know, but they loved it, and the dogs loved it, and, you know, my wife loved it. So I kind of had experience with them for a long time, and I was open to it when the Chamber of Commerce brought it to me and said that, you know, this is something that the community tried to do in the past, but it didn't work, and there's too many conflicting ideas, and, you know, we just want to do something basic and, you know, provide this amenity for the community. And, you know, then they brought it another step farther and said, hey, our tourism committee thinks that it's important for Fortuna because we can get travelers that travel with their pets and they have a space to go and exercise and walk their dog, and our hotels are pet friendly. So it makes sense to kind of combine those two and try and promote the city a little bit. And I was, like I said, I was okay with it. I thought, you know, sure, the city, that's an amenity that the city can participate in.
I would imagine that the maintenance on that is relatively low.
Dropping the cyclone. Much less expectation from a dachshund or a, you know, collie than maybe a family of four.
Yeah, yeah. Potable water?
Yeah, yeah. Some place to fill the dog bowl and
pretty much off to the races with it. I know Hiller Park has got one in McKinleyville that's pretty extensive right around their water treatment facility. And I think they use the river as a border on one side. So
it sounds similar to us. It's on Dinsmore Drive, the area that was basically, you know, it was unused right now, and the city doesn't have any plans for it in the near future, kind of holding it out. I understand maybe further, you know, years and years down the road, if there's an expansion to Dinsmore Drive or the freeway interchange or something, maybe we could use that for staging or whatever. So right now as an interim use, you know, even, you know, longer than a few years is probably great. And so we, you know, it was our Public Works General Services Superintendent Mike Johnson that said, well, hey, well, there's this spot. You want to take a look at that? And I was like, well, I don't, but maybe the tourism committee would. And, you know, I shared it with them, and they went over and felt like it would be an excellent location. You know, very close to Riverwalk Drive and the hotels and the river. And so they felt
a little too much flashback to Santa Ana. Is that what you're saying? No, go ahead. You check out the dog park. I don't need to.
Oh, well, yeah, I just felt like, you know, it's not my expertise area, and the city's not really the one that was pursuing the dog park, but we wanted to make something available to them, to that committee, so they
Is there a liability associated with having a dog park for the city?
Not in my my understanding. It's dog owners are responsible for their dogs. So whether you're at a dog park or at a regular city park or walking down the street, you're responsible for your pet and its conduct. So that's number one. Number two, the city, through our insurance organization, REMIF, you know, informed the city that, you know, hey, that's a city-owned property. It's already listed on our list of, you know, like, you know, Newburgh Park or City Hall or the Fireman's Pavilion down at Rohnert Park. You know, any of the facilities, anything that we have going on, our corporate yard, it's already on that list, so we're covered for activities there. So, you know, that made sense as well to help us to, you know, let's be a part of this new effort.
So when you're looking at this partnership with the Chamber of Commerce, is it a partnership? Is it the Chamber kind of suggesting with a cattle prod, keeping in the animal kingdom, that the city needs to do this? Is it Chamber's with the city's blessing?
I would say it's more of a collaborative effort. You know, we want to see new amenities as a city, for our residents. We definitely want to encourage tourism. The Chamber of Commerce wants to do the same. They've put together the funding and the resources. And so we actually did formalize that agreement through a memorandum of understanding that our city council just approved last evening on a 4-5-0 vote saying, yes, we do want to do this partnership. And here's our role, you know, provision of the space and some other minor things that we'll do. You know, like I mentioned, providing the spigot for, you know, filling up dog bowls so there can be water there. You know, some basic mowing on, you know, occasion, just to make sure that it's in decent shape. I mean, we're not going to mow it like we need it for the outfield of the softball field or anything like that. And trash removal. So that's our basic partnership. They're going to actually develop the park, you know, purchase of signage, putting together all of the rules and regulations that go on signage, all of the fencing to really enclose the park so it can truly be an off-leash dog park. You know, there's not too much more than that other than trying to put in some benches and other little amenities that will actually make it nice and attractive.
That's what I was going to ask, if the parking was suitable for what the anticipation is, or is it? Is there off-street parking?
There's some off-street parking, and we're going to, you know, well, the committee is going to take that as it goes and see what kind of demand we have. You know, in general, like, we're not going to build a parking lot for the dogs, but people can get there. It's fairly easy to get there, and there's parking in the area.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Reagan Candelaria.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Fortuna City Manager Reagan Candelaria. Reagan, 4th of July means a couple of different things, I think, for most of us. Either an extended holiday weekend. If you're so fortunate. Also means new year for a lot of those who are on the fiscal year, or the traditional definition of a fiscal
year. That's us, July 1.
What does July 1 mean, or July, first week in July, mean for Fortuna? Is it a time of relief? Or is
not
it,
at all.
Oh no, here we go again.
I don't know about here we go again, but it's definitely a busy time. I mean, the end of June here, like you mentioned, we're trying to put our budget together and make sure it gets adopted, which is set for July 1st. So that's kind of a busy time for all staff. And then, as you know, I'm new to this organization, but you know, everybody's gearing up right now for our busy summer season of events. And so you mentioned 4th of July. We have July 3rd, a big fireworks festival at Newburgh Park. And then it's kicking right into Fortuna Rodeo, which starts the 15th, the week of the 15th through the 21st. And then the Auto Expo the next weekend. So we're jumping around, jumping through a lot of hoops this last month and next month.
Are you aware whether or not Fortuna has done any kind of I know either cities are really involved in economic studies or it's seen as a cost. So I'm saying this not having any idea. Does the city of Fortuna have any knowledge of the economic impact of the Humboldt County Fair in August? It's 10 days. Okay. There's really no formal events in Fortuna, but a lot of folks are in the Eau River Valley for whatever they're doing out at the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. Is there any spinoff into Fortuna?
Yeah, I expect that there is. I don't know that we've studied it or really done any kind of, you know, comparisons to prior years or anything like that for that particular time of year. But, you know, we know that during our events, you know, the hotels get full. We know that when Humboldt State is having graduation, our hotels get full and, you know, restaurants pick up a little bit. So there's definitely spinoff, you know, from other parts of the county when there's things, you know, bigger events going on. So I would say yes. We haven't really studied it, but there's definitely some positive impact.
Yeah, intuitively it would make sense. Mm-hmm. As you look at future economic efforts Fortuna. Are there any linchpin things that you see that, boy, if we could blank, or if the timing of this was just a little bit different, it could really kind of explode? Do you see? I do. Are there potentials there, or diamonds in the rough, so to speak?
Well, the opportunities are, like you mentioned, timing, you know, different times of year. We have a really big July, as I mentioned, where we're really busy. We've got apple harvest coming up a little later in the fall. There are some holiday events, of course, around, you know, December. This year, the Chamber of Commerce and our Historical Society over at the Depot Museum have a light show the 15th through the 22nd of December that they're planning, which is kind of a new thing, bring some new attractions to the town. But if we can kind of find a way to have something on a more regular basis or throughout the year, you know, winter months are maybe a little more difficult with weather, obviously, but to have something that's a bigger draw more often throughout the year, I think, is our opportunity in Fortuna.
I think, yeah, when I think of smaller towns, and I obviously all of us are, but there are those that are smaller than others. Mm-hmm. Homecoming week. Now, you go to a college in a small town, and homecoming week is a big ripping deal. And everything gets laid out, and, you know, it's all the bunting comes out, and it really is a...
bunting.
Yeah. Huh? I like that. Yeah, that's not a word you think of often, is it? But it's all rolled out. It's kind of like the red carpet for the town for the alumni of fill-in-the-blank school, whether it's a high school or whether it's a college. Are you familiar with any towns that do that kind of thing in California and really try to make homecoming week not just... Yeah, the football game and the dance afterwards, but to really make it something a little bit more significant for the community?
I really don't. I know that in Fortuna and Ferndale with the high school, you know, the milk jug, milk can game, that's very important, and we get a lot of, you know, energy around that. I know that, you know, the golf course, Redwood Empire Golf and Country Club there, right adjacent to Fortuna, they just held a big event. They call it the Southern Humboldt Masters. It's a golf tournament, and they encourage people from out of the area to come and participate in the event. I know that all the members bring in guests from outside the area, so that's an activity that, you know, is kind of a bigger deal. I don't know if it gets a lot of coverage, but it's something that does bring people in from out of the area.
I'm wondering, you know, sometimes we think of economic development as these big things instead of little drips. A little drip here, a little drip there, and pretty soon, yeah, we've got a little something here to get excited about. Do we sometimes miss that opportunity, the small opportunities that can really add up to cumulatively to a significant impact?
Well, that's why I'm talking about, you know, lengthening things out throughout the year so that we have all of those smaller events, you know, situated properly, that they can get, you know, a lot of activity and focus on them different times of the year and really then contribute on more of a regular basis. And those are very important. And I'll just, you know, I guess I'm going to put myself out there a little bit. I think a bigger, major type of economic development project or program is really what's going to provide lasting impacts on the community and, you know, be able to kind of give a little sigh of relief or a breath of, you know, time for a local organization like ours so that we can continue to provide the services that we do and, you know, the public safety and the street improvements and all of that. You really need something big that's going to have a lasting impact that you can rely on. Now, what that is or where it comes from is obviously a, you know, big mystery, but that is something I think you really need to also focus on so that you can have a long-term perspective for your community.
Creating your own or knocking somebody off?
Creating your own. I will go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I think one of the coolest things in the world is go out, find another community, see what's going on, and then improve on the idea, bring it home. You're not taking from them because they're too far away.
Well, yeah.
But you have it, and you got the nutshell of what you need, and then you come off of that.
Yeah, you definitely want to do that, but I think my focus for Fortuna would be to look at what our resources are and what our opportunity is and try and bring something in to fit that so that there is a real, you know, opportunity. So you're not really having to sell too much. You're saying, well, here's what's here, and here's what makes sense for you, and here's how we can help you to make that work and bring somebody in that way or something in.
State cook-off.
State cook-off.
State cook-off.
Oh, yeah. Steak.
Steak.
Yes.
Yeah. That kind of plays into a little bit of the history of Fortuna.
We have a big chili cook-off as part of the rodeo, and I happen to be one of the judges, so I'm focused on that now.
I think it's freestanding, you know, something that really is like a large regional food event.
Hmm.
And you bring in, you know, maybe you have to upfront some serious money, but you bring in some of the names. And,
Is it okay if I steal that idea or utilize
it? Steal it. Embrace it. There's no stealing on this one. KINS, News and Information Times 343. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back, final couple minutes with Regan Candelaria. Regan, so you've got the budget pretty well locked and loaded. Any surprises the last minute with some of the governors or the states? Last-minute stuff, or was it kind of what you had anticipated, and it's just kind of full steam ahead?
Yeah, we're ready to go. It's, you know, I don't think there were any new surprises. We're ready for adoption on the 1st. We had a budget study session, a workshop, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and, you know, made some adjustments and based on what council was thinking and some couple other directions they wanted to go, and nothing major. So we're looking forward to that, getting us started on July 1st.
Were any of those adjustments painful ones? A lot of times you hear it's the last one that's the most painful because you were hoping to avoid that.
Nothing really painful in terms of council direction. We had one revenue source that was a one-time revenue source, but it turned out to be only half of what our expectation was, which kind of stinks, and adjusted our budget a little bit. But other than that, no, we're doing pretty good.
Is it going to be a good year for Fortuna?
I would say so. Yeah. We're just starting this, you know, summer season here with our events coming up, and I think there's a real positive outlook there in town.
How will you know if it's a good year?
Again, if that positive outlook, you know, remains, you know, if people are, you know, still willing to participate and come out to events and showing up at the chamber functions and all the service clubs, which, you know, I've seen a very consistent community in terms of, you know, openness and participation and, you know, just really getting involved.
So it's more everybody's smiling as they're going up and down the street.
Yeah. That's okay. Part of it.
Well, you know, sales tax revenue being a demarcation, home sales. And there's a lot of different choices that are out there.
Well, if you want to look at those specifics, I mean, we do have a lot of new development coming in through our planning counter. And so it's up, you know, a significant number, obviously, compared to prior years. Is kind of a, you know, a cheap way to say they're up, but they're definitely up, and we're seeing more coming in. So that is positive and gives you a positive outlook for the future.
You know, you need to do something on the old mill site, and everybody will be happy, huh?
Well, that would be nice.
not tomorrow.
It won't be there tomorrow. It'll take a little bit of planning.
Yeah, okay. Oh, we've been talking shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more talk shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.